You have your Bibles, we'll turn with me to the Gospel according to John. I want to look at the fourth chapter. We'll read several verses here, but I want to talk to you this morning about worshiping God. What we call worship services. That truly aren't worship services at all, not God anyway. But I feel like the Lord just dropped three things on the inside of me that I want to share with you. Taken from John chapter 4, we begin reading with verse 3. Speaking of Jesus, it says, "He left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he was compelled to go through Samaria. And he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph." Just believe this is between Galilee and Judea. "And Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being fatigued with his journey, sat on the well," or by the well, "as it was about noontime. And there came a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink.' For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, 'How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, who am a woman of Samaria?'" For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. "Jesus answered and said to her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it is who said to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water.' The woman said to him, 'Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From where then do you have that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I give him will be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life.' The woman said to him, 'Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither have to come here to draw.' Jesus said to her, 'Go call your husband and come here.' The woman answered and said, 'I do not have a husband.' And Jesus said to her, 'You have well said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and he whom you now have is not your husband. In that you did say truly.' The woman said to him, 'Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship.'" It's believed that this mountain that she's referring to is Mount Gerizim, where the Israelites, Moses commanded them that when they went into the promised land, they would speak, six of the tribes were to speak the blessing from Mount Gerizim. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me that neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem will you worship." And then he goes on to say the Father, okay? Then he says, "You do not know that which you worship. Yet we," and we being the Jews, "we know what we worship because salvation is of the Jews. But the hour comes, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seek such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Now, I want us to just take this and look at it, because honestly, this is where many people are today. And the three things I want to look at as far as worship goes is geographical, congregational, and personal. This woman has in her mind that the geographics, that there's a certain place that you worship the Lord. The Samaritans being at Mount Gerizim and the Jews in Jerusalem. And you look at people today, they have in their mind there's a certain place to worship God. Some will go to this place, some will go to that place, some will go to another place. But the bottom line is their attention's on geographics. During the week, you know, God's not really on their mind a lot. And so they just wait till whatever day that may be that they go to this geographical location, and then, you know, we'll worship God. Well, it doesn't work that way. Worship is actually an interesting word. It's a Greek word, proskuneo, and it carries a connotation of like a dog licking its master's hand, such an affection for that, or to couch down, or like to bow. And then the other thing is to prostrate oneself before the Lord. Now, we're not talking about a physical posture. Jesus said spirit. You worship the Father in spirit. So we're talking about a spiritual posture. How affectionate are we to God? Now, let me put this in. Worship is more than emotion. You know, a lot of people just rely on emotional things, and then they call that worship. But you can be real emotional about a lot of things. You know, you can be emotional about a ball game. Of course, some people worship it, but there's more to it than just an emotion. And I want you to see there's more to worship than just going to a place on whatever day of the week that you may prefer, okay? Some say Saturday, some say Sunday, and you know, when you go into other countries, it's every day. They, as we would say, go to church every day, Monday through Sunday, you understand. But here again, it's not the location. If you don't have a good intimate relationship with the Lord, you probably go to a location, just go through traditional motions, religious motions. You do things a certain way. This is how, you know, they come up with the liturgy. There's certain things you go in, and this is going to take place, this is going to take place, this is going to take place, and all these things that are taking place. Most of them don't even know what it's all about anyway. Most of what it's about is man-made, some man-made idea. You know, it's sort of like going to Jerusalem and looking at, or going to Israel and looking at the icon places that they've just made shrines of. And the interesting thing about it is most of those places are occupied by either Catholic or Islam. But people get all caught up in the place. Geographics. And some people make it just their lifelong ambition to go to Israel or go here or go there. Well, the God I serve is everywhere. You understand? He's not limited to geographics. And then we get into this idea of worship is congregational. You know, we call it corporate. Well, it can't be corporate worship unless everybody in the corporation is worshiping. You with me? Otherwise, here again, you're just going through the motions. You're doing what everybody else has done, or what you've been taught from the time you grew up. If you were like me and grew up in church, you just learn what they do and you call that worship. In reality, it's not worship at all. You know, you're going to sing this song, you're going to sing that song, turn to page so-and-so, and we're going to sing the first, second, and last stanza and all this. You know, if you grew up, you know what I'm talking about. I'm not going to go into all that. But then everybody doing that, and they call that worship. Like all over the city this morning, they're calling this worship service. But is God being worshiped? Or is it just a congregation coming together, a group of people assembling themselves together, and then just calling that worship. Well, we worshiped this morning, did you? Or did you just listen to somebody give a lecture? And there's a world of difference between worship and listening to somebody give a lecture. You can sit under teaching and worship, or you can sit under teaching and just get intellectual. One is you listening for God, your heart's to God, you're thinking on God, you're not thinking about the delivery and all that type stuff. You're just thinking about, you got your mind on the Lord, you're looking for revelation to come in you, something to come alive to you that'll bring you closer to the Lord. You get a more intimate relationship with the Lord if it's really worth it. You don't get that congregational. I dare say that if you take the music away, most people would absolutely be lost. They wouldn't know what to do in a service. They rely on the music. And you know, I watch this, and I love music, but I watch this on YouTube. I don't watch TV anymore. But I watch this on YouTube or in various churches that I've been in. I watch this how there's a pattern with what's called worship leaders. Okay? You can't lead me in worship. It's a heart thing. You can help set an atmosphere by you worshiping, but if you're just a skilled musician or a skilled singer, gifted musician or whatever, that doesn't mean that you're going to take me into worship. Worship is personal. It can't be done congregationally or geographically if it's not done personally. You follow me? And so, you know, a lot of people, you know, they get down and hear the fad that's going on today is you crouch down and you get a certain expression on your face. That's nothing but religion. But it's called worship. Let me tell you what worship is. Worship is when you forget about the congregation and it's just you and God. And you're just singing to the Lord. You're just playing to the Lord. You're not thinking about anything but the Lord. And there's no gyrations to it. There's no, certain posture, anything like that. I mean, you can stand there and just like I'm standing right now and just sing to the Lord or play to the Lord or whatever. You don't care what anybody else is thinking. It's you and God. It's a personal thing. And this is what true worship is. Okay? You see, Jesus told that woman, he said, the time is coming. He said, it's already here. That the Father is seeking people that don't go through the motions. He's not seeking people to be in a geographical location. Under the law, the males had to be at the temple 3 times a year. Those annuals, they had 7 annual feasts, and they were required to be at 3 of those feasts, or they were cut off from the nation. Geographics, everybody had to go to Jerusalem. You understand? This is what was going on with the day of Pentecost. Everybody had come to Jerusalem for what purpose? They would tell you to worship. But were they really worshiping, or were they going through the motions of worship? And so Jesus is telling this woman, no, it's not geographics any longer. It's not congregational any longer. Now it's personal. God is seeking those who will worship Him right out of their heart, in spirit. Now here's the other thing, and in truth. In truth. Not making you think I'm worshiping. You don't know if I'm worshiping or not. Do you understand? unless you just bear witness to the Spirit of God. But I've been amused over the years. I've been pegged as a person that's not emotional, but everybody's emotional in some way, so that's not a true statement. I'm just not one that, you know, runs and does cartwheels and jumps and all that stuff. I didn't do it as a heathen, and I don't, you know, it's never done it as a Christian. I was not one at the ball game to just jump up and cheer for my team. You know, that's just not me. But the bottom line is, that doesn't mean I wasn't overjoyed about some things. I just didn't express it like some people. And I've been in services and just feel like I'm in the presence of God, not aware of people. Just the presence of the Lord and just standing there. Just like I am right now, just standing there. But in the presence of the Lord, communing. Communing. Now we're talking about worship. Now we're talking about worship. If you're not getting into the presence of the Lord, and if there's not a heart-to-heart communion, a reciprocation going, you're feeling the presence of God, and you're just pouring your heart out to the Lord, and you can do it without saying a word. Spirit. The Spirit. You understand? And I think a lot of people miss this. God is Spirit. God is Spirit. God is Spirit. You don't have to shout for Him to hear you. If the Spirit of God moves on you to shout, then go for it. You're not going to scare Him. But that's not the only way that God hears. God is listening to your heart. Man looks on the outside. God looks on the heart. Man can say, boy, they had a tremendous worship service this morning. And God could be saying, I wish they would worship me. They just had an emotional service this morning. They had some good entertainment. They had, man, I gave these people this talent, and boy, it was so great. But they didn't bring it back to me. They didn't worship me with what I've given them. And see, this is where the defining line is. God getting, or are you just giving to people without, you know, you just think you're going to do something for people? It's interesting how we call them worship leaders. That's trying to cheer you into something. It's like cheerleaders at a ball game, trying to get you involved, trying to get you hyped up. Well, worship's not hype. It's not hype at all. It's actually the opposite. You just get lost in the Lord. And you worship Him. Your mind's on Him. And this is where He wants to take us. Not putting attention on the geographics. Not putting attention on the congregational. But getting the attention on the personal, intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about a true fellowship. If there's not a fellowship between you and the Father, you're just deceiving yourself in saying you're worshiping. And most of what goes on today, what the activity that will take place in service this morning, God would not call worship. God would call it entertaining the congregation. But He's seeking. Now, that's an interesting word. Seeking means that's not obvious. If something's obvious, you don't have to seek for it. You just go pick it up, right? Seeking means it's not obvious. God is looking. He's getting past all the facades to find whose heart's involved in this. Oh, they can sing beautiful. They can play great. I mean, they can raise their hands and they can do this and they can do that. But where's the heart? I'm looking for the heart. I'm looking for the heart that loves me. The heart that's just crying out, I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to be in your presence. I want to be like Moses. If I can just get in the presence of God, then that glory is going to get on me. That presence is going to illuminate me. You with me? Now we're talking worship. That's who God's seeking, is true worshipers, not geographical worshipers, not congregational worshipers, but people who are intimate with the Lord. It's a personal thing. You with me? Now do you know what worship is? Now don't you think it's somewhat of a joke to say it's a worship service when we don't even, not even, our mind's not even on God? I dare say that people sitting in church this morning, a big portion of the congregation, their mind's not even on, if you listen to the preacher or whatever, their mind's somewhere else. How do you know that? I used to be one. I mean, I sat in the church and my body was there, but I was gone. I was checked out somewhere else. You understand? I'm not thinking about what's going on in that church service. So am I worshiping God? No, absolutely not. There's no evidence that would support that I was worshiping God. But when your heart is locked in, and your spirit interacting with the Spirit of God, now we're talking about worship. Jesus lived a life of worship. When we started out with this passage of Scripture, it says He was compelled to go to Samaria. He could have gone a different route, but he's being led by the Spirit of God. And if you're led by the Spirit of God, you're locked in the Spirit of God, you're worshiping. Worship is not an act, it's the way you live. We understand, it's just the way you live. You're living in the presence of God, you're hearing God, and you're responding to God. So just the fact that Jesus went to that well, that Sychar, and talked to that woman was worship. He put God before his physical desires. You understand, it says he was fatigued, tired. He'd walked a long ways. Hungry. His disciples had gone to get some food. But what God had planned was more important than the physical man. There was a woman there who needed to hear truth. She needed to be confronted with truth. Not only did his confronting her with truth change that woman's life, but it also changed others. She became an instant witness, and it changed other people. So why was he compelled to go to Samaria? God had some people in Samaria that he wanted to open their eyes to where they could see truth. This is why it's so important that we worship God. Your worship of God is going to have a ripple effect. Other people will be affected by your intimate relationship with the Lord, by your obedience to the Lord. You'll be at the right place at the right time, doing the right thing the right way. But that'll spawn out of worship. Not geographics, not congregational. Personal. You worshiping your God, not a corporate God, a personal God that you call my Father. Jesus has given us that right and privilege to call God my Father. But you'd be surprised how many people cannot in good conscience call God their Father. Why? They don't know Him. They don't know Him. You understand? You'll know God through worship, through the intimate time. Amen? You get the message? Worshiping God is not geographical. Worshiping God is not congregational. Worshiping God is personal. That's the message. All right. And that's had nothing to do with Tammy. I will tell you this, she's a worshiper. When she first got to where she could actually play the piano, I mean, there for years it was just not pleasant, okay? But when things started clicking, and her therapy before she went to school of a morning, And she would go in and she would play the piano. And a lot of times I would just stand in the doorway or sometimes sit, she's not knowing I'm there, and just the presence of God was just awesome. Why? She's not doing it for congregationally, not geographically. Just music can be a communication. Have you ever thought about in the Psalms it says prophesy on this instrument or prophesy on that instrument? What is that? Playing by inspiration. Prophesying is inspiration of God. And so you can play skillfully or you can play by inspiration. And God is wanting people to be inspired by Him, not just to learn how to play. You follow me? And so, I've noticed this about singers. I was listening to a lady one night on YouTube sing, and I thought, she's different. I'd listened to several other singers. I thought, now this one's different. And I'm going to tell you what I think the difference is, and I'm going to find out. I said, I think she's filled with the Spirit of God. And so I started doing some research on that particular person, and I just happened to hit a conference where she was actually speaking in the conference, giving a message in tongues and laying hands on people. I said, that's the difference. She knows who she's singing about by personal relationship. You understand? Not just some corporate thing, but a personal thing. And you can tell when it's coming out of the heart or when it's just skill. You with me? I sing out of the heart. You wouldn't be impressed with the skill. But I believe the Lord enjoys the heart. You understand? Then it's a real worship. Okay? All right. You guys okay? Father, I thank You that You bless us indeed, You enlarge our territory. Your hand's with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make Your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up Your countenance upon us and give us peace. So, Lord, we invite You to rise up, let Your enemies be scattered, and let those who hate You be before You. Amen. You guys have a great afternoon, and remember what true worship is. And try to stay dry if you can. I'm actually still drying out. I got soaked this morning. My coat's still wet.